Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics. You know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. Hello, welcome to Tell Me About It. This is episode number 10. I am really surprised and elated that we have lasted so long. We have, we used to grab a bunch of people to talk to, rather two people, two industry experts.
It's 5 o'clock, guys.
Welcome to Tell Me About It. Okay, I'm getting some echo.
Yeah, same. Got the same.
Okay, all right. So this is the part of the fun and games that we were speaking about. But besides this, okay. So I wanted to speak to a couple of people who are in this sort of field that I'm involved to, but we have very different experiences, right? So I wanted to get Kunj Sanghvi, by the way, guys, is the co-founder of Inside IIM, and he has a media background. He's also from the 2010 batch of MICA, and we were kind of chatting away before the webinar started. He came into MICA during a transition time. You know, one director was going, another director was coming in, and I think it'll help him structure some of his answers today. But Kunj is a very successful entrepreneur who has set up this wonderful community portal called Inside IIM, and he does great justice to it. So welcome to Tell Me About It, Kunj. And Shronit Ladhani, I haven't met, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting. He is somebody who I saw the TED Talk of, and I really liked the TED Talk. And what I really liked in the TED Talk was Shronit talking about Career Ninja in such a way that he said, hey, you know, if you just follow this, you don't need to join Career Ninja. And I found that really refreshing. He is somebody who's always been a bit of an entrepreneur, and I appreciate that. I really, truly appreciate the way in which he has, even written his LinkedIn bio. It's a really interesting bio. So, Shronit, welcome to Tell Me About It, and I hope that you carry the same candor in some of the questions that are going to come your way.
Definitely.
Right? So, having introduced you guys, I wanted to ask the first question, right? The first question, obviously, I mean, the topic is an MBA still relevant? So, I'm going to read something to you. So, I normally surprise everybody. So, I'm going to read something to you, which I've kind of done some research on. and it's about Purdue. So it says once amongst the top 30 MBA programs in the US, Purdue University has basically effectively tossed in the towel on its two-year residential MBA offering. The decision is to at least temporarily shut down the program coming after, you know, and basically they're shutting things down. For at least pausing. They're saying we are pausing our recruiting effort for the residential two-year MBA program, will not enroll a class to begin in fall 2021, right? Yeah. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is Purdue, man. It's a pretty decent university. And one of the main things is what I've noticed is India does wonderful things, right? It but one of the things it does is that it looks aspirationally to the U.S. And, you know, if there is some bellwether MBA, which is like on shaky ground, I wonder how that kind of portends for us. So I'd like any one of you guys to tell me what do you guys think? Is it the beginning of the end? What do you guys, let me at least get some opening positions from both of you.
Kunjari, expert. Yeah.
No, I'm not an expert. I actually, firstly, I think that, it's not a bad thing. That is the first thing I want to say, that, you know, if it turns out that way, I have a certain opinion of, although my website is called insideim.com, I do feel that management education is one of those things, and I read a lot of Scott Galloway also on this, and it says that, you know, something that has not changed in the last 1,000 years, this coronavirus is make it change very quickly now. You know, the COVID situation is an accelerator of emerging trends. We've seen so many online education startups coming up and doing well. That's going to happen in the space of MBA as well. What these brands are, you'll be surprised to know that chances are that Harvard and Stanford will do well in this world as well. They will tie up with a Facebook and a Google, and they will run programs which will reach lakhs of people, and they will hold on to their hegemony in a lot of cases if some of these campuses play well. But entering a landscape where they are not the experts. The experts are a completely different set of edtech startups who understand this space a lot more, who understand that education is so close to entertainment that, you know, the delivery of content needs to be very different, who understand tech, who understand various ways in which data can be used. These are not areas where universities have invested enough to understand. Yeah. And I think that they will do well. There will be some of them who will survive, because all the management lessons that they've taught in the classroom, they have to employ those management lessons now.
Right.
To survive. Yeah.
We're going to see how that's going to work.
Okay, so interesting. Shrunit, before I get into what you're going to tell me, Kunj, really interesting that you're mentioning, Professor Scott Galloway and his take on it, because I think it's a radical take on things. And it's something that he has been notoriously known to have predicted some really good trends. So a lot of people must be shivering in their shoes from maybe... not so well-known universities or maybe the second rungers or maybe the Purdue's of the world. Who knows, man? Purdue is not, you know, it was good, but now it wasn't good and it became worse and worse and worse. And what you're saying is interesting. You're saying that a Google and a Facebook, I mean, what you're referring to is that a Google or a Facebook will be connecting to is Harvard or a Stanford and actually educate the hell out of like millions and millions of people, and that seems to be a big trend, combining data and education. Interesting. Yeah, Shrunit, what about you? What do you guys what do you think?
There's a lot of there's a need of learning which doesn't go away, right? Mm-hmm. But it changes form. I see education of the future being more lifelong, being more parallel to your work rather than, I mean, my fundamental question is, why do you need to spend 4 years away from your life learning? Or why do you need to spend 2 years away from your life learning? Why not it be parallel to the challenges you face? Okay, you faced a challenge in team building, or you face a challenge in negotiating with your boss. Why why can we not have something learning more real time? And anyway, given our dependency on a physical space of learning is going to go with the COVID hit. I completely agree where what Kunj mentioned, right? A lot of things are going to be reimagined. A lot of incumbents may not make it, as mm-hmm. Scott Galloway also said. I mean, I imagine something, any of these people, whether it's a new ed tech company which is using data, augmented reality, virtual reality, or it could be an existing company like Harvard, which they try to do with HBX Core, trying to reimagine that. Anyone who manages to rebuild learning in a way that's slightly more real-time, slightly more blended or virtual, mm-hmm. is going to start making good headway in that direction. Because also another thing that I see happening is people are realizing that ultimately it's about getting a job, right? And your MBA need not in today's day lead to a job. When we're talking about Harvard's and Purdue's, we are talking about the top 20, top 30 in the world. If you look at India's MBA graduates, a debatable 60 to 90% as per reports are yet deemed to be unemployable. So end mein thappa mil raha hai aur kuch nahi mil raha hai. Wo thappa ka value ja raha hai as per company. So they care about skills. So my take is who's delivering skills for you is what it is all about, and who gives you a good brand name.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. I mean, I was just part of a pre-orientation program which was held online for Mica, right? Yeah, so I was part of a panel, and I was speaking about, you know, the beautiful, wonderful structure that Mica is. And I realized that Mica is certainly, you know, a rare college and also amongst the top few colleges. But where probably, you know, a point to note is that in the top colleges, it's not just about the job, but also about the kind of network and relationships that you build. Yes. That sometimes tends to play. But I agree with you that if you're doing a generic MBA, it's quite likely that you're going to question your decision. But a question for you, Shonit, before I go ahead. And by the way, my questions have started happening on my WhatsApp. So it's coming directly from the horse to the answerer or whatever. So Shonit, if not an MBA or formal master's, okay, then how do I get that fat pay package at a corporate biggie?
So this actually takes me back to my TED talk, right?
Have you updated your answer, or you can say, hey, go see my TED talk?
No, I mean, sure, go see my TED talk regardless. There's a lot more value there, but I'll yet touch upon it, right? So if you're getting into a great college, you're getting a great brand, because as you mentioned, right, it's I feel it, learning is one component, your network is another component, the alumni network, the credibility of the brand, all of that is another component, right? Mm. So if you're getting that, great. If you're getting into the top 10, top 5, great, right? I personally dropped out of my Kellogg and Wharton process of admission. Mm. So everyone's take is different, but regardless of that, ultimately, you're going to move forward based on skill. You got a brand to open your door. You got an alumni to open the door. You got a job interview straight up. If you're in a great college, you learned something great for sure because of the people you're around. So ultimately, it's about skill. Skill comes from doing work. So whoever you are, whatever you want to get into, you need to see if you want to be an entrepreneur, for example, go work directly under an entrepreneur. Right. If someone's working directly with Kunj, assisting him as an intern, apprentice, whatever it may be, ki mujhe sab kaam de do, I will tell you. I don't even pay me. I will tell you, I will become your assistant. Six months in that, and you can literally run something for sure. And the other way to do this is internships and so on. So the work may not replace your entire MBA experience, but if you're just going to an MBA just for a degree, it's your work, your learning, your access to learning on from virtual platforms, all of that is what it's all about. So that's what my talk was all about. Design your own education, right? Build your own network using LinkedIn. Just the way I connected with the Collusion team, we didn't know each other, right? We built a network straight through LinkedIn. So all of that can happen. It just takes, it's unstructured. So you got to make it happen.
Thank you. That's pretty insightful and nuanced. Kunj, back to you. I wanted to ask you a question, and it was about, what does your community say about an MBA? What are the typical kinds of questions, or what are the doubts that, you know, come to mind? What are the aspirations? Can you just shed some light over here? Because it'll be damn interesting to know.
Siddharth, the thing is that, you know, when we look at some of our programs that we do, we also do a lot of mentoring programs, etc. And we've started it in the last 2 months, and we've got very good response. But essentially, most of the students, whether it's for the mentorship program or for the community content, they are from smaller towns. They are from people who don't have access generally to good education on their day-to-day basis, and they're trying to figure out how to overcome my current circumstances. Here, I want to go into the Indian context a little bit and tell you one thing, that we are a low-trust society fundamentally.
Correct.
We don't trust our neighbor, right? We don't trust our niche ka security guard. We keep a rumal on our seat because we don't trust people to know that I'm just going to go to pee, right? So that's the kind of society we are in. In such a society, brands, certifications, tapas have a lot of value, especially in such a society. And that is why we are different from the US in that case. We are an extremely low-trust society. Even if I get a job, and that is also a little bit difficult without having tapas, because when he's putting in money, and I think Shonit also mentioned in his TED talk about it, the company gives money because he sees the thappa, and it means the thappa means that usne mere liye evaluation kar liya hai. To be important. Isliye sum up placements, matlab first term mein ho jata hai. Summer placements, no role is played by the campus essentially.
That's so true.
The campus has selected the person for its campus, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about that is that it is now, job may be, I imagine that because in HR now new trends are emerging and analytics is being used, a lot more HR people are hiring a lot more smartly. We work with a lot of employer brands like HUL, Tata Administrator Services, etc. And
correct,
we see how they are also evolving over time, right?
Yeah.
But when it comes to ki meri beti ki shaadi mein kise karwaunga, it is still IIM ka bande ka, IIM se bande ne MBA kiya hai, to uska dowry zyada hai, uska perception higher hai, all those sorts of things.
What I'm hearing from you is just the reality, of the situation.
I'm telling you where it is changing, right? Now, because of TikTok, etc., what is happening is that a 16-year-old girl who's a TikTok star is bringing the first car to the family.
Right.
The car has gotten a car because that 16-year-old girl has made her career out of dancing on really interesting songs on TikTok, and she's become an influencer. And that's where it's changing, and that change is percolating into education as well, where we hear in communities that people are questioning campuses, right? They're saying that why, in a situation like this, for example, they are questioning, why are you taking full fees from us for the first term? People are questioning why does IIMs hold this hegemony? Why can't I get, if I'm driven enough to do well in my education, why does my 10th and 12th scores matter so much?
Okay, interesting. Right? Yeah.
So these things are now coming up.
No, that's good. I mean, we seem to be in a state of transition. Let me ask you this question. I mean, both of you this question, and I'm sure both of you are going to give me different answers for this. Do you see, and it's come straight from the stream, so don't blame me. Do you feel that MBA life is worth 22 lakhs? And especially when learning is off campus, will you still recommend it? First to Kunj, then to Shonit.
Is the MBA course, the way it was conducted last year, worth 22 lakhs?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Because for three reasons. One is that it gets me a guarantee in terms of a salary.
Yeah.
Second is it builds an amazing network. Like everything that I've achieved, whatever little I've achieved, everything in the last 10 years, my batchmates have played a massive role in it. Greatness comes in batches, what I believe. So absolutely having that kind of batch is very useful. And third is, it's a trial by fire. You get competitive early, and you live a competitive life on a top B school. I'm talking about a top B school because 22 lakhs top B schools he charge karte, like lower round can't afford to charge 22 lakhs.
Shonit, what's your take on it?
Okay,
I would say it depends on the college.
I'll come back to you, Kunj. Yeah,
I would definitely say it depends on the college, right? If you have a great network, if you have a great brand, all of that, which Kunj mentioned, right?
Yeah.
I would definitely agree. Second, I would say it also depends on your end goal. If you want to get into a nice MNC job, meaty package, TK makes sense. If you
you're saying it in such a depressed way, it seems like a nice thing, yeah? You know, nice meaty package.
No, definitely. Obviously, everyone has different goals. So, yes, it's perfectly there if you're getting the top IIMs or FMS or whatever, or any of these colleges. But if you're not, I would ask, maybe if you're paying half of that, but if you're not, I would ask you to reconsider and think about where else you could use that money, right? If you want to ultimately start your business, that is good capital. Your first friends and family round gets saved with 20% of your company gets saved with that money. So, That's the parallel context. So that's pretty much it. So it depends on your goal. And it depends on if you have, again, 10%, 20% Indians are self-driven to have their own design, their own learning, learn on their own, have the discipline to learn from Coursera, do an internship. Baki, it's not that easy. So this is your auto path to getting to some basic.
So what I'm hearing from you, and I'm going to go back to Kunj because I kind of interrupted him. Here is what I've heard from you. One is you are saying that if you're getting into a great college and your goals are to get that fat package and whatever, great, excellent, go for it. But on the other hand, if you are in a situation wherein, you know, you're not getting into a big MBA college, right? The fees also are not that big, but still reconsider because you might be able to carve out an alternative path for yourself. Right, Shronit?
True.
Okay, interesting. I just wanted to get your... Kunj, sorry. Go for it.
No, so actually, that's what I've been saying, right? Like, Harvards of the world are going to become bigger, right? Because today, if I'm not getting into a top B school, I absolutely agree with Shronit that, you know, you shouldn't do an MBA. If you're not getting into a top school, don't do an MBA. Whatever 10 lakhs rupees that you will save, you will do five really good things with it. You will learn, you will travel, you will build something of your own and try to run it, all those sorts of things. However, I want to say this, like, this is what we've realized on our platform. And, you know, we also don't like this trend, but we have something where on our platform, people select goals, what goals they are working towards when they register on the platform. And entrepreneurship is the absolute last goal. Like a million people come on the platform every month, and there is barely anybody who selects entrepreneurship as a goal, because and finance is the most attractive goal. No, finance is selected like nobody's business. Everybody wants to become investment bankers and somewhere in the vicinity because, I'm sorry, and I agree that aisa nahi hona chahiye, but everybody wants a fat payback. That's the reality of right.
So. Okay, so but what about the debt that happens to be there? I mean, like, for example, and this is a related question to both of you since both of you are entrepreneurs. I have mentored, right, about 200 odd people, right, for becoming entrepreneurs in MICA. So there is an option. So instead of a thesis, you can do a project and you can do a digital project and the rest of it. Now, an abysmal, not even 1% have actually started based out of that project, they have to go ahead and, you know, basically take up that fat meaty job that you know, Shrun was talking about because of the debt. So are we like doing something wrong fundamentally over here when we are encouraging people to take on debt? Maybe I like Shronit to go first and maybe Kunj, you can weigh in later. Are we doing something fundamentally wrong over here by encouraging debt? That way your entrepreneurship goes down or the rest of it. What's your take on it?
So, I mean, from an entrepreneur point of view, yes, that debt comes with a lot of, I will only then be able to start up after 30, right? And after 30, safety, unki education hogi. So that you get stuck there. And we've had so many mentors who've said, okay, I couldn't start up, but I'm happy to help you out, right?
Yeah.
So that's been there. But parallelly, I think education institutions are noting this, and especially if you see the new bootcamp approach to learning. If you see the income share agreement models. So there is a new wave or a new trend coming up where, hey, we're so sure about the kind of learning we're going to give you that you're going to get a job. And if you don't get a job, you don't owe me anything.
Okay.
right? So the income share agreement model, which is in its very nascent stage in India, but I think Purdue also has done it. I think Purdue was one of the first few people to have run it as an education institution. I see some sort of a new asset class instead of education loans coming in from this point of view. At some point in the future, there's actually a Y Combinator backed startup which literally gives turns your loan into an income share agreement and enables education for you. So there are these new changes or new trends coming in, yet early to see. I mean, I don't know how it's going to pan out in India. How do you get the guy to pay ultimately? So bhagya job leke kya karoge?
Okay, all right, interesting. By the way, Kunj, what do you feel?
No, look, I agree that the income share agreement kind of arrangement works, and it will work especially for brands that are not as strong. Because honestly, up till now, IIMs have been running as exactly that format. That look, I am guaranteeing you that you'll get X lakhs of salary once you pass out, and hence this loan is worth it for you. We talk to a lot of these loan companies as well, and the thing they say is that. Yaar, humko to loan dena hai unko. Like the people are falling over each other to give loans to IIM students, right? Because those are like, you know, blue chip investments. They're always going to turn out and repay. It's the lower grade guys who want a different kind of an approach now. They're not getting into an IIM. They get into Bharatidasan school or something, and then they don't get a job, and they're stuck exactly where they were after their graduation. They're stuck again after their post-graduation. Yeah. Those are the people finding this world of the internet where they can get access to superstar professors. They can get access to biggest brands. And they find it amazing that they can do it through the internet.
Can you, Kunj, by the way, shout out to Vyom. He has watched all our webinars and is still asking questions, which is amazing. Vyom, thanks a lot for supporting whatever we are doing. And Pranjal Pandey as well. So I'm just putting a shout out to some of the regulars out there. I just have a question, which is from Vyom to Kunj, which is, what is your take on content seeding for marketing?
In the context of MBA or like generally?
I think probably the question is general and generic. So let's have a bit of a commercial break, answer his question shortly, and we'll go back to the main program.
I think content is the way to go. Look, the thing is that great advertising of the earlier years, like the Dairy Milk ad in itself, was also great content. And that is why it did a good job of marketing. So just formats have changed. Now you need to watch. A lot of brands have become enabler brands. Essentially, I need to enable you, empower you in a certain way. And how can I do that? By providing you information that you need. And that's where content comes. And then the brand message comes in, which is what we also do, employer brands with campus brands, etc.
Okay. That's a short and sweet answer. Thank you so much. Okay, now we're getting back to the main program. Shronit, let me ask you a question and I'll come back to Kunj on this. What do you think, can the education system actually be broken? Because you're somebody who's always questioned the status quo. You've kind of, you know, said, okay, I'm going to do something, and then you do something completely different based upon your wonderful new perspective that you got. And that's what I've noticed about, your path so far. So if you have to kind of revisit the, and you said lifelong learning and the rest of it. So I'm just trying to figure out from you, if you had to redesign the MBA now, right? What would you do?
That's an interesting question. That's a big question, right?
Go for it,
man. I've had a lot of different disparate thoughts. I've not fused it into what would be an ideal curriculum. Structure, jo bhi. So one of the few principles I'll talk about. So, right, one of the few things I really believe in, like, which you're the traveling professor, right? So I believe I have personally learned a lot via traveling. I've taught English in Czech Republic. I've done marketing in Brazil. I've learned new languages with these people, like relooked life because of how these different cultures function. First, I think with education, we need to redefine the purpose of education before you even look at structure, right? Is education to get you a job? Is education to make you a great human? Is education to make you successful in life? And what is thus success in life? Is question one. If you look at Gurukuls of the past, they were about building you into a great human. If you look at education today, it's come down from learning to even job. learning is great. I mean, technically, you'll be wondering, main math kyun sikha 12th standard mein, ki si calculus karna kya hai uska life mein.
Correct.
Right? Except if I was in a researcher. But so it's been commoditized to the extent that it's just about I bought this and now I get a job. Right? So we need to rebuild, relook at what's the purpose of education first. If it's towards enabling success in life, which is what I believe it is, it needs to enable a lot more than just your hard skills. Hard skills can be learned by watching Coursera videos, have a local trainer over there, contextualizing it, helping you make sense of that. And ye lo, HBX ka ye video hai, Harvard ka ye video hai. This is what makes sense for you in an Indian context. Isko Indian context mein se apply karna hai.
Correct.
Now, can you have 20 of these guys work on a project, work, go to the Kirana stores, actually apply it to the Kirana store and so on? That's the kind of projects you need to work on. Can you build in a global perspective, living in the global economies of today? Can you inculcate travel? Can you inculcate your exchange programs? And these as actual curriculum and not as an optional add-on which you can do in a summer, right? That's the kind of directions I would take a look at in education. And I would say probably you would have a lot of like your distance MBA things, right? You come down 1 month in campus, then you go back, or you come down 1 weekend in campus and you go back. I would probably say 6 months on campus and then everything else hybrid, whether it's blended, whether it's online, offline, and so on, is how I would structure it. And then which would inculcate travel, which would inculcate your projects.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Kunj, what about you?
See, I'm looking at it from what are the skills that are going to be relevant in this new world, right? And then go back to what needs to hence be designed for delivering those skills.
Yeah.
I feel that, you know, we are returning to a time where writing well is going to be very important to communicate your ideas.
Why do you say that?
Because you and I are talking over a video call, right? Everything I need to communicate to you needs to be articulated well. You know, the best companies in the world, even Amazon, has this culture of putting down everything.
Correct.
Whenever you want to communicate an idea to the team, you have to you have to write it down. And, you know, there is no better way to form a thought perfectly than to write it down. It's such an underrated skill, but writing is something that is going to make a serious comeback. Selling, coding, these are... Writing, selling, coding are the three new gods. They are the Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, in my opinion, in the coming year.
Wonderful.
I'm saying that if even if you are a marketing professional, even if you are a storyteller, even if you are, you know, a traveler, if you know coding, you will be able to scale up whatever it is that you're doing. And there are, I know US examples are like pointless to a certain extent because we're a different market, but there are first grade schools in the US who are teaching coding now because they acknowledge the fact that, you know, these are the skills of the future.
No, Kunj, you'll be surprised to know that Micah is teaching Python to his analytics guys, right? So if you're right, I mean, you're absolutely
people like White Hat Junior also. You've seen how it's exploded over the last few months.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what are you saying?
In that context, I'm saying that, you know, it's not going to be a a la carte kind of a dinner, you know. Education is going to be a buffet. You pick this, you pick that. I love the Harvard course on business strategy. So I'm going to do the Harvard course on business strategy by Professor Ashwat Damodaran, and that's all I'm going to do from Harvard.
Right.
I'm going to do a course on marine life from, you know, some university in Australia because that's the best university there. My MBA is also going to be something like that. And, you know, I completely agree with Shronit on the lifelong learning bit because, you know, most careers are getting built that way now.
Yeah.
Okay, this is something I'm going to pursue and I'm going to spend the next year learning it, apprenticing under someone around it and then doing it for a few years. There's the whole gig economy also that we are running towards that, you know, I have three skills. I have one main hustle, one side hustle. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pursue this for this long period of time. So essentially, the education system will have to rearrange to make space for these kinds of careers, these kinds of lifestyles.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh, and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Imagine earning a degree that prepares you with real skills for the real world. Capella University's programs teach skills relevant to your career so you can apply what you learn right away. Learn how Capella can make a difference in your life at capella.edu.